Can anybody out there hear me? Hear me?
On this team, we fight that itch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that itch.
Coming in at 320 kilobytes per second, it's time for Maddie C's Sports.
What the fuck is up? They ain't touching me for nothing. Gang shit is not my business. I ain't not the one to fuck with.
All right, everybody. Maddie C Sports under the new name, even though it's not really new. I'm here with my boy over here, Connor and Troller Matthews. Bro, how you doing this afternoon? Is it afternoon? Yeah.
Yeah, it's afternoon. I'm doing great, man. Yeah. Doing awesome.
So you were on Dana White's show not too long ago on was it only on YouTube? I think it was only on YouTube.
Yeah, so Dana White's looking for a fight. It's a YouTube show they put out. They filmed it at Calvin Cater's Combat Zone. So that was back in the fight was back in March, but they just released it this week, probably to coincide with the UFC in Boston right now. They probably, I don't know, for whatever reason, they wanted to keep those things together. So they just released it right now.
Yeah, man. And of course, it was great to see like you going back in there and, you know, kicking ass at Combat Zone. And then, so then now you get the announcement that you're back in the UFC. You're fighting Yair Farias.
Yep.
Who himself is 10-0, and you know, coming into that fight, man, you're back at the, you're going to the apex, and man, like, how's it feel going back into the UFC?
It feels good. I mean, this is what I planned on. This is what I wanted ever since my last fight. You know what I mean? That was the vision. I was like, you know, I took some licks in my first fight at the apex, and I feel that I, you know, learned from those lessons and completely changed a lot of the things that I've been doing and the way I've been training. So I reinvented myself, I feel, and I'm excited to, you know, I'm grateful that, you know, they invited me back there in the first place. And then I'm excited to get out there and show everybody, you know, all the changes and improvements I've made to myself and get on the big stage again and prove that I deserve to be in the UFC.
My God, man, you already are deserving of the going in the UFC, man. When I saw your fight with Francis Marshall, I was like, this kid has the most heart. I'm not kidding when I say that. Like, dude, that fight was incredible. How much strength and conditioning and everything you went through that fight. And you got it so far that you made it to decision. That was absolutely incredible. And yeah. Just like, shit, dude, that you got a lot of balls, man. Fucking, that was crazy.
Yeah, Francis is a savage. I had the opportunity to go train with him after that fight, and he's just like, his gas tank is insane. So, you know, I showed, you know, I needed that too. I needed that experience. A lot of my fights leading up to that point, before that, was just me smoking guys in the first round. And even as an amateur, that I had that happen to me a lot. I only went into the second round once as an amateur. So I kind of needed that experience. And it was definitely always a war. You know what I mean? Obviously, you don't want it to happen for your fight chance. You want to win that fight, try to get into the UFC. But, you know, I'm grateful for it now looking back on it. And I learned a lot about myself. I proved to a lot of people that I'm not just a guy that can go out and just going to, you know, knock guys out. And then, you know, I don't have heart and I don't have whatever, you know what I mean? Like, I have grit and I wanted to prove that to everybody. So I showed everybody I have that side of me if I need to go into that fight. And, you know, especially at the higher level, because a lot of these guys at the higher level don't go away easy. You know what I mean? That you're going to run into a lot of high level guys that can take the beating. So you need to prove, show everybody that, you know, I can do that as well. So.
Well, with you, man, you know, you going into Yair's fight, What do you know about him yourself? Like, what have you seen with his style of fighting compared to yours, and like what you expect from this guy?
So he's tall, he's lanky, he looks like a really big guy. I mean, he's 5'11" as a 45er. That's a big dude. He's got good striking. It looks like he's beating up guys with kicks. He's beating up guys. He's good boxing. And not too many submission wins though. That's one thing I've noticed. He doesn't seem like he tries to keep it on the feet. So, and I mean, that's what I think he's going to try to do. Even though he's a Brazilian, you think he's going to have good jiu-jitsu. I'm sure he has jiu-jitsu, but I think he's just going to try to keep it on the feet. So, that being said, is I'm a well-rounded martial artist as well. So like, I'm not afraid to bring to the ground, and I'm not afraid to stand and bang with this guy. Like I said, like I've been in those wars. I can strike too. So, you know, I'm going to bring the fight wherever it needs to go. If he wants to keep it standing, I'm good there too. So it is what it is.
And I mean, shit, man, like the arsenal you have for people that will help you in your fights is amazing. Like you got Pete Luciano, you got Valdina, you got Aaron Hughes, you got Joe Poirier, yeah. You got the cartel crew. It's like, damn, bro. Like, and you got Calvin Kattar, obviously, and Rob Font.
Yeah.
It's like, it's unbelievable. So like, you know, you train with these guys and they're all different styles. So it's like, do you feel like you have an advantage having all these guys with all different styles all training with you?
Yeah, I'm certainly grateful for sure. Like, you know, especially and I got the basement, and so I have like Valdina, Joe Poirier, Pete, and we got other guys coming in. Even recently, I've had like a lot of the guys from like Johnson & Wales College coming up and rolling and training with us on the weekends. So I think it's like a huge advantage. Never mind the fact that when I get to go up to Cartel, I train up at Cartel 3 days a week. And, you know, and I'm rolling with like high level guys that are in the UFC, Rob Font and Calvin Kattar, Nick Fiore, Tom Pags, and other guys, Chris Martino. You know what I mean? I'm training with the best guys in New England. That all what we have to offer, I'm with those guys every single day. So, yeah, I'm very grateful. And it's definitely a big advantage that I have, you know, built those relationships, you know what I mean? And yeah, even guys like even Don Chaney, I'm good friends.
Yeah, Don Chaney rolled in. I saw that. Yeah.
Down here all the time, he rolls with me. So it's like, yeah, I definitely think I have that advantage, you know, surrounding myself with really good high level guys.
Bro, who was it I last talked to that rolled in there? We were talking about Mom's Basement, dude, and their creation, dude. Like, I have to go there, dude. You gotta absolutely. Send me up there, kid.
Always welcome, man. Always welcome. Come down here on a Sunday. I think Sundays are my favorite days. It's not too formal. It's a lot of open mat, a lot of rolling. We do some guys get in here at 11. We start doing some sparring. It's like light sparring, nothing too serious. I don't want guys like knocking each other out over here. And then we do some open mat rolling. So yeah, it's been awesome, man. I love it. It's been like a thing, you know what I mean? A thing on the weekend. So it's been really cool.
Dude, like it sounds like a palace right there. You know what I mean? I mean, I've seen everything that's like, everybody has a story that they're at Mom's Basement. It's like, do you rent over there, or what do you do? You got rooms available up there?
No, I don't know. It's literally my parents' house. And so what happened was, is I was renting from a CrossFit gym. I had space where I was teaching and running a little spot at a CrossFit gym. And the CrossFit gym ended up closing down. So I was like, gosh, that kind of shit. I was screwed. You know what I mean? So my parents were like, hey, in the meantime, you can just put the mats in the basement, and you can, you know, continue to run your classes. Cause I had kids program going down over here, and I had, I was teaching some adults classes. And I was like, all right. So I moved down to the basement, and then it just kind of became like something else. It actually felt like more of a gym environment than it did in the CrossFit gym. Cause the CrossFit gym was kind of weird. It was just like two different things going on at once. And it was like people blasting music, picking up weights, dropping them. And then we're doing jiu-jitsu on the side. It was kind of weird. This is like, you know, it feels like I can, it's my spot. You know what I mean? And then we just added the cage. Obviously we have like a little area for people to hang out, and it's became just something different, and I feel like it's better. And another thing, I wasn't even able to hang bags at the CrossFit gym. Now I can hang bags in the basement, and it wasn't as an unexpected like thing that happened, but it's been an awesome thing that happened for sure.
It's funny. So now mom and dad are looking back, probably they're like, oh shit, we gave him the green light. Now he's got this.
Now they, yeah, they but they actually support it a lot. I mean, probably at first, like they wanted to do something with this space and like put a man cave down there for my dad or something like that. But like, since I'm like, you know, I'm chasing my goals and I'm doing stuff with it, they're all supportive with me. So like, it's been pretty awesome. You know, I mean, they let me have the whole space. I mean, it was supposed to be only half the, like a little bit part of the basement. I ended up taking over the entire basement. So.
Bro, you just fucking put an octagon in there. Like,
yeah,
that's insane.
It's pretty awesome. Not gonna lie, dude. I mean that because right now there's not. It's really hard to find an octagon or ring to train at in South Coast Mass. There's no, I don't know any gyms that have right now. Even Lozon's doesn't even have one right now. So like I think we're like one of the only places that have an octagon right now in South Coast that we can train on. So for me, it's pretty important for sparring and stuff and getting used to the cage work and everything. So. I needed it, so I was lucky. Connor's MMA, they wanted to. I think they wanted it's more of a jiu-jitsu gym, not really an MMA gym anymore. So they're getting rid of it. So I was like, I ran over there, got it as soon as I could, and then you know, just fit perfectly. Like I mean, literally, if it was an inch bigger, it wouldn't have fit in my basement. So it just like kind of worked out perfect.
I have to say, man, that's fucking so cool, man. I have
Thank
to
you.
Admit
Appreciate
it.
Appreciate that, man. Thank you.
And I mean, it even goes down to like you have a couple AMIs in there, and I know Miguel Severson comes in there. Like all the, you literally have the state of Massachusetts in your basement.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah, because I mean, Miguel and Jack Condon, like they'll come down every once in a while. I trained with those guys growing up. We're all actually Lakeville MMA is where we all started.
Yep.
People don't really realize that, and that's my sensei. So actually, the mats that I'm sitting on right now, he gave me all these mats. He was moved. He got new mats in his gym, so these are his old mats, and he gave me all this. He's the guy who really started this off for me. Is John Sensei John Morando. So me and him, he's been a huge help and supporting me through everything. So I'm really grateful for them. And then so obviously, like anybody from Lakeville MMA is welcome to come here and train here. So and you know they. Lakeville guys, man, they got some good guys out of there, like Jack, Miguel, you know what I mean? Like, those guys are, you know, really good Jack's pro now, but, you know, Miguel's making his pro debut, but they were really good amateurs. Now they're, you know, they're chasing that professional. There's a lot of good guys that came from that program, and there's going to be a whole nother wave of guys coming up pretty soon.
Oh, exactly.
The kids that are teaching, coming up there right now, my good friend Carlos Lozoya, he's a black belt, really good wrestler. He moved out, me and him trained in Washington State, and then he moved out here after our military careers, and he's teaching at Lakeville now, and I can't wait to see what he does with those kids. There's some really good guys going to come up in that program.
And that's the great thing that I respect about your basement is like it doesn't matter where you're from, pretty much. You got
yeah.
The Lakeville guys, you got the Lozon guys, you got
that,
you got Cartel, you got everybody there, and it's like there's no judgment of gyms. And I will say though, what's funny about now you say Jack Condon is nicest guy in the world, but when he gets in that fucking octagon, like when I first saw him in his AMI debut, I was like, dude, like this kid, why is he here? Like, why is he not a pro right now? He's
yeah,
like
he's
a whole nother realm.
He's so athletic. He's so strong. He's got great kickboxing. He's very he's a killer. I'm really excited, especially that weight class. I think he's going to do really, really good at that weight class. He's just like very disciplined too. He's been like that. I've been rolling with Jack. I mean, I'm thinking 4 years older than him. So when he was like younger to me, it was like way younger, you know, and he was like 12 or 13. He was beating adults back then. You know what I mean? Rolling and beating
Crazy.
Adults back then. I remember him giving me hard rounds and I was like 16 and he was 12. And he was like beating, he's doing really good against me. So I was like, yeah, I'm excited to see what Jack does in the future. He's going to be a problem for sure. But he's so funny. Yeah, you're right. He's like the nicest guy in the world, but he gets in there and there's no messing around. No messing around.
And he's got that monster voice that it's like,
yeah,
whoa, like, but it's like, he's the nicest guy when he talks like that. It's like, it's a mind game. You're like, yo, is he pissed or is he all right? Like,
yeah. I know exactly what you mean. It's funny.
And
My nickname for him is Gentleman Jack. He doesn't like it, but that's what I like to call him, is Gentleman Jack.
All right, cool. So that's the third nickname, and that'll be the next one I call him next fight.
All right, he gets mad at me.
I love it, man. I love it. So this is a question I actually asked Don Shaynis too. When you go out there to the Apex and all the gym and like what I'm not going to say benefits, I'm more going to say like the tools, like what sort of tools do you utilize there, like with like the nutrition, or you know, like the doctors, or like
you're talking
all the different
out in the UFC for the Apex and everything like that?
Yeah, like in Vegas down there.
Yeah, so actually, because until you're so right now I'm not on the UFC roster, so you're actually I'm not allowed to use any of the facilities unless I have a UFC fighter with me when I'm out there.
Oh really? So, oh okay.
Yeah
you probably have to, you have a couple, don't you?
Yeah, I know, because I've been out there a couple times, and I do have a lot of friends that can, that you know, but usually they're not out there with me, so I'm unable to get into the facility. But I went around it. I took a quick tour of it before, so it's fucking, it's beautiful, man. They got everything in the world. I can't wait to be able to use those facilities. If I was able to use it, I'd be in that cold plunge and that and the saunas and stuff every day. I'd be using that as much as possible. And nutrition, I got a nutritionist, so I kind of got that thing down right now. So but yeah, I'd be definitely using them for all the recovery stuff. That's what I would be using for. I wouldn't want to train too much there, because I wouldn't want to see like my opponents and other people I train, kind of getting my style, right, and see what I'm doing. So I'd be very careful about, until I was like, you know what I mean? Like, till after I started fighting, or maybe if I brought my own guys in there, I'd use the facilities. But other than that, I don't think I would do too much training there.
Well, it's good you got a nutritionist. I got Peter Barrett as my nutritionist, so.
Yeah, he's a good nutritionist as well. He's good. He knows his stuff for sure. He's done it enough times. I don't know how. I mean, he's a big guy, and he makes 45. I don't even know how the hell he does that.
I haven't known for all his career. I have no idea. Dude's an animal.
Yeah, he's an animal. Him and Don. Don does the same thing. I helped Don cut weight for his last fight, and I was just like, "How the fuck?" I mean, he's just animal. Just like sat in that tub for like 3 hours straight. It was ridiculous.
That's the thing with you guys, is like, there's no like laziness with you guys. You guys don't do no bullshit. Like, you're not cheating with meals, and like, you know, from what I see, and then like you're professional and, you know, talking to me like this. But then, like, once you're in the cage, does it feel like when you're in the cage, like, nothing is around you, no sound, no voice, or is it like you hear it, but
you definitely know. I mean, it's totally a different experience than fighting and sparring and training. If anything, when I'm sparring and I'm in the gym, I'm so comfortable with sparring and rolling that I could have a conversation like this right now while I'm fighting. You know what I mean? Because I'm just used to that. But you're definitely, when you're in a fight, it's a different scenario. Like, I try to be as calm and relaxed as possible, but it's just different. You know what I mean? So there's definitely like, I'm more focused on what's going on right there with like the guy. It's a little bit more intense for sure. And I don't hear as much. I hear corners a lot though. I'll hear his corner and I hear my corner, and that's basically the only audio. I don't hear the commentators. I don't hear the crowd. All I hear is corners. So I think, I don't know why, but that's always something I notice in my fights.
So you're trying to say you're learning a bit of Portuguese for this fight?
Actually, it's funny you say that. I have a Brazilian guy, DeVito. He's been coming into the basement. He's been teaching classes two nights a week. And he's very traditional with the way he teaches. So he's Brazilian. So he teaches all the moves in Portuguese. So it's like, you know, and he's telling me everything. He's like, he tells you, like, even when he's telling us to do something, like, you know, shrimp, he'll tell you in the port. And I haven't learned him yet, so don't ask me. But like, we're picking it up. But like everything he does, he makes sure he tells us the Portuguese way to say it instead of saying it the American way. So he just constantly is always, I kind of like it. You know what I mean? Keeps a little bit more tradition behind it. So I'm telling you, he's got to teach me some swears though before this fight, so I can talk shit to this guy.
That'd be dope. That'd be dope, man. And my other thing for you, man, like I said, and I know about like your service in the military, and I can't thank you enough for your service to this country and, you know, supporting me, supporting everybody in this country. So I appreciate that.
Thank you, Brad.
With how you got in there, you know, like what made you go into the Air Force, and also how does it feel when you transitioned, like using your military skills with this, are they both a big help? But like, do they coincide with each other?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So, I chose the Air Force. Actually I was trying to be a Navy SEAL is what I originally wanted to be. And then like, I was talking to them. The Navy recruiter was kind of like not giving me the job I wanted to do. So for whatever reason, so he's trying to like hand me. So I ended up just like, all right, screw it. I went for combat control instead. So I talked to the Air Force recruiter. They're like, hey, we got this job. And I was like, sign me up. You get to jump out of planes. You get to scuba dive. You get to do all this cool stuff. And I was like, all right, sign me up. So I went for that. And so going through the training was like, you know, it was like a 95% attrition rate. So that means like 95% of the people that signed up don't make it. So we only get, you know, if you had a class, I think our class we started with was like 100 and something people, and only like, you know, five guys made it all the way through. So it was actually more than 95% attrition. So it was, you know, it was a grueling hard training that made me who I am today. So and then you only get at the end of that, you only get left with like the best dudes, you know what I mean? Guys who have no quit in them, guys that, you know, so you're surrounded just in this community with guys that are like-minded like myself, that just make you better, you know, like iron sharpens iron, whatever it is, so you're just caught with these really good dudes, and you know, that's became my culture for like 6 years of being in the military, just being surrounded by them. So now it's like, that's who I am. So coming back into fighting, I just have a different mentality than a lot of these fighters do, you know what I mean? They haven't gone through the adversity and overcame it. And like, I mean, in my training, I didn't just sail right through like no problems, man. I ran into washing back and training. I ran into injuries and training. I ran into having to redo courses again. You know what I mean? Doing all these things that really like took me 2.5 years to make it to get my beret and be a combat controller. And that's who made me who I am. And so, you know what I mean? It definitely helps me out on the other side. And never mind, like, a lot of portion of it sounds crazy, but a lot of portion we do like scuba diving stuff. So there's a lot of breath work, where they're not breath work, but basically they're just drowning you. So like that changed your brain to be really uncomfortable. Like I'm getting like basically drowned in training. So I'm just used to that's why like in these big fights, like you're like, oh man, you have a lot of heart. It's because I've been through this shit. I've been through the worst stuff. I at least have air. You know what I mean? In a fight.
True. True. I will say, I tried a military career, but they didn't let me in just because of a high iron deficiency, and I scored high on the ASFAB. Yeah, I was trying Navy too, but they wouldn't let me in. At the time, they weren't allowing tattoos, so like I have tattoos on my hands. So like they, at the time they weren't, but now I think it's all right now. I think.
So I see that hockey. I see that hockey thing. Are you a hockey player growing up?
I was.
Me too. That was my first sport.
I think like 16 years. And then, nice. And lo and behold, when I'm a senior in high school, they go to the finals, like the state finals, Division I in the Garden. Yeah. And
what year was that?
07.
07. Okay. Yeah. I remember that. I remember that time period. I graduated 2011, but I was a hockey player in that. So I remember coming up and Weymouth being really, really good. And I played for Coyle Cassidy High School.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
So that was my first sport, honestly. So, you know, I actually ended up switching over into MMA because my senior year I got hurt. I did prep school. I played juniors. So I was into that whole.
You were into all of it, man.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, man. What do you not do?
School.
yeah, fuck that. it's a school in itself to know what you guys know. So
yeah, I love learning. Don't get me wrong, I just don't like learning about things that I'm not going to use.
Yeah, I don't need an A and A goes over X squared. I don't need that shit.
Yeah.
Exactly. But with the other thing with you is, you know, who's going with you? You know, who's going in your corner this time?
So since I'm part of the New England Cartel, I'm bringing Tyson Chartier and I'm bringing Jake Menini. He's going to be my two corners for the fight. Mm-hmm. But I'm also I'm getting Giddy out there. So last year when I went out there, I flew in on like a Saturday and I fought on a Tuesday. So I didn't really have enough time to get my hours and everything. You know what I mean? So this time I'm going to get out there a week early. I'm going to get out there on October 2nd and I'm going to stay in a Airbnb. And you know, so I have a time to adjust, but I'm gonna bring Pete Luciani with me. And because he helps me out, man. He's a huge help defensively and just like my striking, and he can do a little bit of everything. He's got good wrestling and he's an MMA guy. So I'm gonna bring him out there, kind of get me adjusted, and then but for the fight I'm gonna have Jake and Tyson corner me.
Awesome, man. Awesome. So my final question to you, man, is, you know, is Mom's Basement staying forever? And, you know, with you, are you, is the ultimate goal just straight up UFC, or do you have other like personal goals to what you're going on?
Man, martial arts is just such a part of who I am, my whole life. Like from when I was a kid, like, I was a traditional, I did Kenpo. I've been literally doing martial arts since I was 5 years old. So this is like, I love martial arts. So it's always going to be a part of me. Teaching is, I love teaching. I love, you know, there's so many parts of this thing that I love doing. So yes, my idea is to definitely have a gym someday, a bigger gym. Mom's Basement is probably not going to be my ultimate goal, but it's not going anywhere at the same time. You know what I mean? I'm going to keep this thing going for now until, you know, while I'm focused on my fighting career, it's as good. I don't have to worry about paying rent. I don't have to worry about, you know, all the things of running a real gym. So this is perfect for what I'm doing right now. But, eventually, you know, once I'm in the UFC, I'm done. You know, hopefully my idea is to have a UFC career. And then when I'm done with my UFC career, I'm going to open up a real gym. Somewhere around here in the South Coast, Mass, and maybe even happened before that. You know what I mean? I have a lot of good guys training with me. So if we get something together, we want to open up like a real facility down here in like New Bedford area. So that's our main goal.
That's awesome, man. I mean, well, pretty much we're South Shore boys, man, pretty much. So it's awesome to see you're getting to where you are, man. And I followed your career and it's been awesome to see you do your thing.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. I mean, it's been awesome. It's been a ride. I mean, I love it, man. It's just been it's who I am and I love it. So I'm really excited. I want to be a South Coast guy do, you know, really well in the UFC in a while. So I'm really want to be that person. I really want to, and if I can't do it, man, I'm going to bring in these kids that I have coming up in my gym right now underneath me. I'm going to have some good guys coming up in the near future. The thing with these kids is we're teaching them like, you know, the next level of MMA, and they're only 17, 18 years old, younger guys, even guys like Darp, you know, Drew, he fought in Cage Titans, become Darp, Drew Apron, I think his last name is. And all these younger guys are going to come up. They're going to be doing really good stuff. So I'm excited for that as well. And my career as well. So.
And dude, this is the one thing this is the first time I've seen you either at the, like, I didn't see you with your Scally today, bro.
It's up on the wall. I got some decorations out of there. It only comes out usually around St. Patrick's Day. I rock the Scally on St. Patrick's
Day. Nah, the last fight I saw you were rocking one, bro.
Was that? I might've had one out. It might've looked good with the fit.
I forget who you were cornering that night. It was it Miguel? No.
Oh yeah, Miguel. Yeah. I think I did have it. I was going. Yeah, it was not Miguel, but it was it Valdina? Might have been Valdina.
Yeah, I think it was Valdina because
Valdina. Yeah. Usually I try to hop in the corner of Valdina and help him out.
Oh, that's right. That was St. Patrick's Day. It was. Or it was the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. I wore it not too long to the fights too. I went out to go watch the fights and I had the Scally on too. So I'll wear it every once in a while. When I go golf, it's my golfing hat.
Awesome. See, and guy of all sports, man. Guy of all trades.
I'm not good at golfing. I just do it for fun.
I do it for the beers and the cart, and then hit a couple of nine irons.
I do it just to get out of the gym and go walking around outside. You know what I mean? Enjoy the weather and stuff. So,
hell yeah, man. Well, Connor, it's been an honor to have you on the show. As I say to every fighter, every boxer, everybody in the sports world, you're always welcome on this show, and we appreciate you coming on. Is there any way people can follow you, like Instagram, Facebook, Twitter?
Yeah.
Or is it X now, whatever the fuck it is?
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck that is all about, the X, whatever it is. I have that, but I don't really use it. But if on my Instagram, The Controller MMA, and then if you guys want to get support with shirts, go to firstthere.org. That is they're my big sponsor right now. So it's a nonprofit foundation for ran for combat controllers. And you know, a lot of it's just, you know, we help other combat controllers who are struggling after they get out, you know, struggling with PTSD and struggling with any issues. So we trying to get money to help those guys out any which way we can. And also other guys like me, they help me out by like chasing my dreams, right? You know what I mean? They're sponsoring me because I'm chasing my dreams, doing something I want to after my military career. Sorry. So if you guys can go on there and buy a shirt and just to help support, I'd really appreciate it. And that's about it.
Oh, and there's also, honestly, your sponsors too. Is there any of them you want to shout out? Or do you have like a poster
I got Organic Grit is a CBD company that sponsored me. They've been awesome. We have One's Ready. It's a podcast, but by combat controllers like me. Who else do we got? Can't think of them off the top of my head. So that's what I got right now. But we got some more coming, I'm sure. So Non-Standard. We just talked to them. Non-Standard is another. It's nonprofit that's ran by Special Forces guys. They've been helping me out as well. Yeah, check out those organizations. I'd really appreciate it. Yeah, I got a lot of military guys supporting me right now, and it's been huge.
Awesome, man. So thank you again, Connor. So everybody, it's October 10th, right? October 10th is your
October fight. 10th. Yep, Tuesday night.
Tuesday night, and you're facing Yair Farias. So everybody tune in for that. Support this guy. Support him. I don't give a fuck if he's just Massachusetts. Support him nationwide, worldwide. Support this dude. He's a fucking beast.
Thank you.
Everybody, Maddie C Sports, Connor the Controller Matthews, and good night, Satan. We'll see y'all later.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for watching Maddie C Sports. Make sure to follow Maddie C on MattCameron23 on Twitter, MattieC23 on Instagram, and subscribe to Maddie C Sports on YouTube.
They ain't touching me for nothing. Gang shit is not my business. I ain't not the one to fuck with. I bring the flow, with lyrical stamina, rapping a million miles. One pun, I'm an animal, then I'm a cannibal. Taking my pick and I pounce.